You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Okay, so we found the house. We're a bit late because we've been out of the house in I don't know how long, and I think Sophie's already here, so we're going to have to apologise, but let's go in. This is the right one. Yes. Up the stairs. Oh, don't trip over this. I've forgotten how to walk. Right. Ringing the door. Oh, doorbell. That. Hello. Oh, fancy. It's quite a big house. Might take quite a long time for the door to open. So shall I fill in? I'll fill. Rhubarb and custard and rhubarb. Oh, I can hear something. I can hear voices. Hello!
You
filmed
a
little
Describe the doorstep.
What colour is the doorstep?
Oh, my God. Oh, this is the whole thing about this. This is called the sitting suit. It's Danish. And you just wear it and sit down outside.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home.
I'm Sophie Robinson.
And I'm Kate Watson-Smythe. And for the first time in 6 months, we are not only together in the same actual physical space, but that physical space is a very exciting house belonging to a very exciting guest.
Before we reveal all, a word from our lovely sponsors who are making all of this possible.
So excited that we're out in the wild to record this episode. Duvet den, be gone. Although, to be fair, Sophie, yours was a very pretty duvet den.
Why, thank you. Gotta say, a bit underwhelmed by your plain, white, boring affair, to be honest. Or was it beige?
It was not beige. Well, it might have been off-white. Anyway, I'm going to go with calm and restful.
Well, at least you know your style, that's what I say. And our sponsors, Harlequin, have come up with a way of helping you find your unique style within their extensive fabric and wallpaper collections.
They've come up with 4 key looks to inspire you. Rewild, that's going to be you, Sophie, isn't it? Retreat, reflect and renew as part of their Own the Room quiz, which you will find on their website.
Ooh, I love a quiz. And keep your eyes peeled on social media too, at Harlequin FW, to find out more. Now, if I'm rewild, then what are you? I don't think you're very reflect.
I'm very reflect.
I think you're more retreat, as in, leave me alone, I'm having a bad day.
Which would make me renew.
Right, listeners, you are going to love this. I'm standing currently in the open plan kitchen playroom, and I can see a giant disco ball. And I can now reveal that our generous host today is someone who the BBC earlier this year called the woman from lockdown kitchen disco. In other words, Sophie Ellis-Bextor. Thanks for having us, Sophie.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm just sat over here listening.
Like we're on the telly.
Yeah, exactly.
Sophie's broadcasts of her family kitchen discos through lockdown were utterly fabulous. But of course, the BBC could also have mentioned the small matter of 7 albums, a string of chart-topping hits, and endless tours and live performances to adoring crowds across the globe. Not to mention, of course, a dazzling turn on Strictly Come Dancing. But Sophie, I do understand why the kitchen disco eclipsed all your many other achievements for a moment there, because it was so joyous. I loved it. And this was the place where it happened.
Yeah. And what's quite funny is that all the stuff that you can see that became sort of synonymous with the discos was actually already here well before the discos became a thing. So the sequin bunting, the fairy lights, the disco ball, the hanging stuff, that's the big laser light over there and disco light. In here we have turntables, DJ decks. This is all here already because I think as a family, that's how we always like to sort of let off steam, celebrate, spend time together. So actually, yeah, it was all here. And I've left up, this is my lyrics from the last one, because I would use the chalkboard that covers up all the kids' toys to help me with, like, if I was doing covers. And I never needed it, but it was like a safety, like a safety blanket. Because while I'm doing the discos, it's not like when I do a normal gig where I'd learn it inside out, but then I'd be in my own headspace. I also had all the small kids running around. Yeah. So anything anything could happen at any point. So I just thought, I don't really want to get massively thrown off. But luckily, I didn't really need it. And actually, the kids would quite often take a lot of fun in wiping off the chalkboard as the disco was going on. So I'd look over, it'd just be a smudge anyway. So
yeah. Just take us back. How did the first one come about? Did you just think, oh, I'll just have a go and see if anybody watches? I mean...
And they were done on Instagram Live, right?
Yes, pretty much. It was very wing it and see kind of a feel, because... it was right at the beginning of the first lockdown. We'd already gone into lockdown a little bit before the national one because one of our kids had been sent home from school with a cough. So we were all here for, I think, a week before the rest of the country's caught up. And I was feeling just monumentally useless, really. Like loads of people feeling really discombobulated, you know, the heaviness of the news, all of our work being cancelled. My husband and I, Richard and I, were both musicians. So the whole year ahead of us sort of went from being really filled with loads of events and I was doing lots of tours to suddenly tumbleweed. And I had so many clever friends who immediately wanted to connect with people and were doing these amazing performances on Instagram and playing piano and accompanying themselves. And I was thinking, I stopped piano lessons when I was 14. I can't do any of that stuff. Why didn't I learn how to accompany myself? And then Richard said, why don't we just do a gig? We'll do it live on Instagram. We'll put some songs on. You can do like your party set. And there was something about the absolute lunacy of it that really appealed. I just thought, why the hell not? So I found myself putting on my sequin cat suit, putting my rollers in. Our youngest at the time was 14 months, Mickey. So he's crawling around the floor. There were wires everywhere. It was just Richard and I. I thought, this is destined for disaster. And if we do manage to broadcast it, people are going to laugh at me for looking so ridiculous. But actually, even before we got much feedback, it just gave us this... The way I sort of compare it is a bit like if you drink a non-alcoholic beer when you're trying to avoid alcohol and the first 20 minutes your brain is fooled into thinking you've had booze. It was a bit like that. The first bit afterwards, we were fooled into thinking we'd done a real gig. Like, woo! It made us feel better. And then people were giving us lovely feedback. So we thought, right, we'll just do that for the foreseeable until we're the other side. And then the first lockdown, we did them every week. So the first 10 weeks... So 2.5 months of discos. And then after that, we kept them a bit more sort of spread out as kids were going in and out of school and this kind of thing. But it became like a massive tonic for us.
And for everybody else, wasn't it? I think that's the thing. And I think what was so lovely as someone who's watching them, it just felt like we just got a little eye into your home and your family and the sort of things that you do on a Friday night.
But it also felt really relatable because there were kids all over the place, and small kids, and there was, I mean, you weren't quite kicking the smallest out of the way, but it was like, oh, I'm just going to teeter around this very small child crawling under my feet in my high heels.
Yeah.
Whoa, there goes another one. He's picked up something he shouldn't have done. And for, I mean, my children are older, but I remember the chaos of having two small kids, and you've got four, five, well, they're in varying stages of smallness and bigness.
Exactly.
But that was, I think, where I felt everybody identified, because it was like we're all struggling with everybody at home. Mm. And, you know, you've got all these children at home and you're having a disco. We can all be there.
In fabulous sequins. Yeah. I mean, the outfits were a very big part.
Well, I'll show you my wardrobe later. But that gave me somewhere to go, you know. In my head, it was like, okay, I'll just think, what song would I love to sing? Like, oh, I've always loved, I don't know, singing something from Bugsy Malone or something from Grease or Julie Andrews, or no, I want to do Prince and I want to do Dizzy Rascal. Like, just, I love the scattergun nature. And it wasn't about my day job. It was very much about what makes me feel better when everything's a little wonky outside of these four walls. And it just gave us that escapism and that catharsis, really. And I loved it. It was every week, and all the community, all the people got in touch. It made me cry like a lot of times. And I cried a lot during the gigs. I've never cried on stage, ever. Connection's so important, isn't it? Those conversations.
And what I loved about it as well was, it was, you know, just from an interiors point of view, it was also celebrating how you can like switch your home about overnight and transform it into a disco. So, I mean, in terms of decoration, we've got the disco ball, as you've said, the sequin, bunting, the lights, but also just your whole approach to decorating, I can see already, is full of fun and life and energy. I mean, I thought I had a cushion issue obsession.
You are not even in the room. We've got a furry tiger heart with pink tassels. We've got the scary Chinese blue woman. Is that Mexican's Frida Kahlo inspired sort of flowers?
Yeah, Tetchikoff, I love her.
Like the bunny in the cabbages cushion.
That's from my mum.
Thornback and Peel bunnies, yes. Mm-hmm. And the wall's very nice pink.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I love this pink.
Which one is this?
This is called Setting Plaster, Farron Ball. It's a clever colour because I've got it here and I've got it upstairs as well, and it's very different upstairs to here. And here it's very, very neutral. And for a long time, these walls were quite white, and it just used to bother me so much. I'm sure there'll be lots of times when we're walking around and I'm going to say, this is my plan for here. But I'm like obsessed. I find doing my home up constantly evolving. It's like tending a bush or something and then trying to make it flower in the right seasons. It's like, it's constantly, the topiary is nonstop basically.
So have you done a lot?
Tons. And I keep going. I'm like slightly obsessive, I think. We've lived here for 12 years. And I'm just a bit fearless about the decorating. And I think it's slightly getting a little bit out of control recently. I think I need to tone down.
You know what I thought when I came here? And I've driven up from Sussex and the first thing I had to do was go to the loo very urgently. And even the downstairs loo is like a little jewel box of fabulous kitschness, of little mementos. And it reminded me of my houses and flats that I had before I met my husband, because I love all the kitschness and the bits and bobs. Kate's now looking at me probably like, what, your house is a stripped down version of all of you? But it kind of is.
Your house is quite grown up.
Tom's kind of into the colour and the, well, he's not even into it. He's open to the colour and the pattern, but the knick-knacks, he has a threshold. Yeah. But there is no knick-knack threshold in here as well.
Part of what makes me happy. I've sometimes tried to clear surfaces, clear my bedside table, and I feel more anxious. Right. I think I like being surrounded by stuff.
It's all very happy, joyful stuff as well, isn't it? I mean, we've got like a sequin pug, there's an elephant, there's a giant cockerel, an E.T., and this is one shelf. Like, I'm not even spinning around the room here. I'm just describing one shelf.
They're sitting on top of the giant pinball machine.
Yes.
Which is the kind of room divider between the playroom and the kitchen. Did you knock down walls? Does your sort of decorating obsession go to structural, or is it a colour and furniture rearranging?
It's mainly colour and furniture and wallpaper and things like that. We've done tiny little bits and bobs, but this house is grade 2 listed house. We're not supposed to do anything without permission. And when we moved in 12 years ago at the time when there was that horrible property crash, and it was everything was pretty bleak. So when we first saw here, it was just being done up by property developers, which normally would have made me run a mile, but because it's in this area, Bedford Park, they couldn't do certain things. So I think that actually the character of the house has been there since Victorian times when it was built. It was owned by one woman for I think 80 years, and then they'd really just come in and put in heating and made sure the pipes all worked, and you know, electricity in the rooms that were a bit dodgy. So it was actually quite handy, and we managed to get it for much less than they wanted to sell it for because of what was going on. But for us, it was a really big stretch. But I just could see us living here. I could see us evolving here. And even now, when I walk home across the green and come towards the house, I think it's such a handsome home. Oh, and it's really grown up. So I quite like the fact that inside it's still got
a riot.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
To come back, the setting plaster in the playroom with Sophie's lyric board is, I'm going to go with Charlotte's Locks.
Hang on.
Yeah, sort of deep burnt orange opposite the pink, which is a gorgeous combination. And then your kitchen, as we stand here, look through, is navy blue cupboards and a different pink on the walls. Or is that the light changing?
No, that is different pink on the walls. So in the kitchen, we've got these very dark navy. I think pink and navy is just so nice together, especially with the gold handles. And also I like the way that the pink on the walls, which I think it's one of those little green paint company pinks, and it matches the pink in the back of this House of Hackney wallpaper that you can just see on the drinks cabinet. Yeah.
So leaving the disco through open plan to kitchen.
Past
so
two that's giant transformers.
And then there's the dining room, which is at sort of an L shape, isn't it?
Yeah, so this room is, normal kitchen. We're here all the time.
Oh, and here's the House of Hackney wallpaper in around the dining room. I love this one. This is the soft pink. You've got the neon one.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I love this one.
This is the one I love. This is the one I love.
It's a much more blush pink, isn't it? And the colours are a bit more richer and autumnal, I guess.
You'll see that, though. I've got this Artemis print in four different colourways in the house.
So
don't worry, you're going to see that one again. So the reason I love this is because this is the House of Hackney. It's from their William Morris collection, and this house is all part of the arts and crafts movement. Yeah. So it kind of tied in a little bit to the house's history, but also I think it's so fun having it in a kitchen. I don't think it's a very normal kitchen wallpaper, but then so what? We spend loads of time here, and I want to be able to have excitement everywhere I look, every corner.
Is that what it's about? Because it is like a visual sweetie shop, isn't it? It's literally everywhere you look, there's something popping or twinkling or smiling at you. Or it's just so joyous. I love this. Is that vintage, that sort of heart-shaped shop sign, neon
So that is, yeah, this massive, huge heart that says family on the ribbon. And it's a big neon sign that is, very literally the heart of our home is the kitchen. So it makes sense. But actually, no, I got that custom made and the company that did a really good job because I said to them, they're called Carousel Lights. And I said, I want this sort of neon sign. And they obviously did a little bit of research because look, this is my tattoo. Yeah. So that neon sign is a massive version of my tattoo on the wall. It's really fun. I adore it. And they've done a really good job. And I love a bit of neon. Sadly, my little dance sign stopped working halfway through the disco, so I've had to replace that. That's coming up. But yeah, so I've got that neon one. And then in Richard's studio, which you can see from the kitchen, he's got his neon sign that says nice amp, which is really tragically it's the first thing I ever said to him, which is so embarrassing. But yeah, I think I got that for like our 10th anniversary. I've literally never complimented an amp before since. For some reason on that day, nice amp.
Yeah. So your home is, family, life, work.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I noticed so much last year that there's no space designated for my work in the home. But actually, that's okay. I've found a way through that and I've managed to get things done. But yeah, my work is just anywhere I happen to find that's quiet at the time.
True for many, many women in many houses across the land.
Yeah, and
I always worked at the kitchen table for years and years and years. My husband worked in an office. Then he stopped working in an office. And suddenly it was like, right, I'm going to work in the spare room. I'm going to need a desk. I'm going to need a filing cabinet. I'm going to need the lights. I'm like, sit at the table like I've been doing for 20 years. Oh, no, I've got to have the room. So we've sort of come around in a circle, so we come back out into the hall, haven't we?
Yeah.
So,
I'm lost. Where's the front door?
The front door's there.
Straight ahead.
So basically everything goes round the staircase.
Oh, so I had not noticed, is that the Timorous Beasties Glasgow Toile de Jouy wallpaper?
Is that, because this is their London one, so you've got the gherkin, you've got Big Ben. And what I like about it is it looks very traditional from a distance. When you go up closer, it's all these slightly unsettling images of urban life.
There's another wallpaper, brilliant company called House of Mischief. And they have a paper called the Dharma Sutra. And it looks like a damask, sort of the diamond, classic damask shapes. But when you look closer, it's actually made up of positions from the Karma Sutra. And I remember the woman telling me it when she designed it. And she was like, you put it in a dining room and granny comes around and thinks you've got a lovely traditional room. And then, great uncle walks up to look at the wallpaper after lunch. He's like, whoa!
Yeah, and actually, you've come a week too early in a way because I'm having all my carpets redone next week.
Putting carpet down on top of
this? No, just the carpet that's there. We've had that since we moved in and I never liked it.
It's grey.
Well, do you want to know what's coming?
I know you're all going to come.
Yeah. So up the front staircase, I've gone for this House of Hackney. It's called Compton and it's really beautiful.
Oh, I love the Compton design. That
pink one and blues.
It's gorgeous. I've got it saved on my phone.
Yes, it's really pretty. So that's just up the front staircase because it's very expensive. And then taking over on the top landing where you'll see it's like, that's going to be pink. Like a rose pink, and then every room's got a different colour. I've been wanting to do it for so long and I can't wait.
So you're getting the whole house carpeted?
Yeah, because it looks horrible and there's moth-eaten bits and cowpaw stains and all sorts, so yeah.
But on here you've got, I guess this is an original wood floor, is it?
Yeah, and downstairs is predominantly wooden floor actually, and rugs and, yeah. This space was the hardest to crack, but I love this room now.
This is a big room, so you've got two large sort of 3-4-seater sofas and then a kind of what I call a snug sofa that you can kind of squeeze two people on. And then this enormous dining table. But I guess as a family of seven, you need that.
Yeah, and this is, Christmas dinners, Sunday lunches, all that kind of thing.
And do you do quite a bit of that? Are you one to have people over?
Definitely. That's one of the things I've missed the most in the last year is just having like my mum, brother and sister over for something to eat. I love all that. And I love a busy house and communal eating and sitting down at the table and, having the chance just to look everyone in the eye and check they're all right.
Yeah, we've really missed that, haven't we? Mm-hmm. So you're looking forward to getting people back in.
Yeah, can't wait. And this room, when we first moved in, I thought, oh, crikey, how do I work this space? Because it's got these two bay windows and it was a big room and I just felt a bit intimidated. But making it into the two little spaces is what, for me, brought it all together. And it's still really fun. And like that table over in the window is a gaming table like you get in a pub.
And that makes a really good use of that bay space that can often just be a bit of dead space, isn't it?
Yeah, and this one, that's my cat's favourite chair in the window there where the sun comes in. And that massive star is like an old ex-circus thing.
Well, I was going to say this, because there's a giant ice cream cone in that corner and a giant milkshake in that corner.
I know. How good is my milkshake? That's like one of my favourite things I own, actually.
So where did you find the giant milkshake?
They were both eBay.
You don't stumble across things quite as much anymore. anymore, I think, because it's bigger. You'll go in with an idea of what you want.
That's why I have my save searches, just so I can keep an eye on what's going on in the giant ice cream world.
So, giant ice cream world, exactly. Your specialist subject.
And look, here's the Artemis wallpaper again, you see?
Oh, yes, in the bluey grey. Yeah.
I think it's really pretty in here, though. And actually, there's so much going on. I think if I'd gone for really crazy colours, I think it would have not worked in this space. Because also, the main bit of this room that I adore are the windows and the light outside and the green. So that's really what I love. And I want the rest of the room to be relative. I mean, look, there's still crazy stuff in there. I don't know. It's not like it's like, you know, beiges or anything, but I want that to really do its thing and not be fighting for space in amongst the colours on the wall. And I actually love this colour.
Yeah, it's really clever, because actually when we came in, it was a grey, but now it's gone green. Is it pigeon?
It's pigeon.
Yeah,
my friend said that to me after I was really struggling.
You know that farren ball colour in one, don't you?
Yeah,
you're
really
your mastermind.
They did use some quite clever colours, though.
I love this one, because it's a grey pigeon or a green pigeon.
Exactly.
It changes completely in the light.
Yeah, and it just makes the room a bit more handsome.
I think that's a really interesting way to describe a paint colour, because I think when you've got a lot of colour and kitsch and pattern and busyness going on, having quite a dull, handsome colour as a background. It's that balance, isn't it?
Yeah, and it lets the other things shine and do their thing. That's great.
So much more than white, and that's the other default, isn't it? Well, I banned white paint in a much earlier series, but unfortunately, you're not transgressing the rules, so it's all right. But I do think having a strong colour does, it shows, makes everything stand out more, so you suddenly can see the little statues. And we've got... It's not Jesus, Mary, Joseph and the wee donkey, is it? She says, showing her line of duty knowledge. But you've got religious iconography as well as...
Well, that is Jesus. That's definitely Jesus on the right.
I knew he looked familiar. So did you... Because I'm always interested in how influenced we are by our family homes.
Yeah.
Was that full of stuff, or was your mother living actually turns out in a white minimal box in the middle of a field somewhere?
No, I'm very much like my mum, definitely.
So she has the same.
Yeah, and like funny little toys that will be sat on, you know, a picture frame top, or we've definitely got a very similar eye for what we get excited about in a home, definitely. And I love my mum's house, and it's full of life and a bit of fun, and it's never been a serious home, and it's creative. You know, and I've got 5 kids. I want them to feel every space they can see things and think about the possibilities of where that could lead, like be stimulated by stuff, see silly things. Like, it doesn't have to be serious, does it?
But the joy of this room, I think, particularly is that it feels like a room where you are encouraged to touch and look. You know, you go to some houses and you'd think, well, this is a room where it's all don't touch. But here they presumably allowed to touch and look at things.
Yeah, that also just wouldn't work. I'm so outnumbered. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, there is that.
And also everything's going to break. You know, it's like I adore the things, but if there was a fire, like everything can go up in smoke, really. Yeah. Like it's not really, I don't feel defined by the things I own. I just enjoy them.
Yeah,
but they do tell a bit of a story. I kind of look around and I think, oh yeah, I remember when I got that, or I'll get things when I'm abroad. And, you know, next door when you were mentioning some of the stuff, you know, like the cushion you mentioned, like my friend made that cushion, or it'd be things that have given to me. And I like all that. You know, everybody's here.
Yeah.
Everywhere I've been, everyone I've met that I care about, they're all here.
it's lovely because it tells your story. This is a house that you won't see replicated anywhere else. And I think that's, I'm all for that. You know what I mean? Like, the best possible way. Mm. Because too many people try and create good taste or something that they deem to be approved of by everyone else. It's just led by what you like.
Yeah, but you think you can be instinctive and selfish. It's your home. I think it'd be sad to not feel you can put your own character in your own home. I mean, no one really sees it unless you invite them in. It's like we spend too much time worrying about that kind of stuff. And here, you know, if I find joy and just, I can look at like the way that, I don't know, let's say someone sent me a postcard and the colour's in it and I can lean up against something else and just the way they look next to each other, that makes me really happy. So I'll leave it on the side until one day I think, okay, I've had that now, and then move on to something else. Although I would say doing your podcast is like really bad, because I actually ended up buying stuff because I was like, they're coming. So I was like, it should come with some kind of warning. It's like...
Brilliant.
And does Richard agree, or does he let you get on with it? I mean, there's always... talking to people on Instagram who say, oh, you know, I never let my husband anywhere near my choices. Mine has thoughts and we have to discuss it. And there's a lot of, oh, I'm getting, you know, I've just got this pass, so I'll wait a while till I mention that.
I think the big things we definitely agree on. So the kitchen we did totally together, because we only did that about 2 years ago. So all those choices were definitely joint choices. But I think a lot of the stuff, yeah, he just lets me get on with things and I'll say, oh, I've bought this and I'm going to do this here. And he's like, okay. Sometimes I'll buy stuff and I think, I'll figure out later where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, oh, what's that for? And I'm like, I don't know yet. I just really liked it.
And do you get rid of stuff? Do you
like, do you list stuff on eBay or do car boot sales?
Charity shop, yeah. We just did a massive haul this week, actually. Yeah, just, yeah, I'm quite good with that, really. And a lot of things I get are secondhand, and I like the fact they'll go on and have their next life somewhere else now. That's fine. The only thing I think I'm bad at sometimes, and I wonder if you do the same, is if someone gives me something, sometimes I don't stop and think of how much I like it. And then some, you know, if you picked up one thing, I might be like, well, actually, I'm not that keen on that one item. But then I guess it all kind of just gets lost in the mix.
I think it's really hard to buy people homewares, and I've got like enough stuff in my house, but my mum loves buying stuff and she loves going to Lewis Antiques Market and coming back with something. And I kind of thought I'd got her the memo that please don't buy me anything for the house anymore, mum. Like, just don't. Anyway, last birthday, this really big, lovely, I think it's like, if it's not Murano, it's something, and she thinks she's got the best bargain ever. She's like, honestly, this is really special. It's really great. But it's really big glass dish. You know, it's not something that just pops on a shelf.
Oh, that's hard.
Anyway, I sort of like had it in the living room and kept moving it around, feeling a bit irritated because I didn't really have a space for it. Oh, yeah, that was it. I had a photo shoot in the house and I put it in the hall and she noticed and she went, do you not want that dish?
Is it on its way to the front door?
Do you not want that dish? And we just had this whole thing where I was like, yeah, please take it because... And don't buy me any more stuff from my house. Yeah. So it's gone back to her house. It's really hard, isn't it?
It is. Actually, my mum did me a favour a few years back because I was saying about things like that. And she said, oh, God, if it came from me, just get rid of it if you don't like it. It's fine. And it gave me permission to sort of move a few things out. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I haven't entirely done it, but I'm better. Do you want to see something a bit strange in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come over here to the fireplace. So these are... two taxidermy mice that Richard and I did.
What?
I wanted to do a taxidermy class and then I couldn't find one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Taxidermy. With my brother, my sister and my mum. So all five of us made our little taxidermy mice. Aww. So Richard's one, look, he's got a little record player, he's holding a little record. My one's reading a book on, which one is it? I went for in the end. Yeah, some sort of inorganic chemistry.
And he's kicked his shoes off.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Taking the shoes off, just reading a little bit of science. If you're going to try some taxidermy, I would say start small. That took absolutely hours.
Did it?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say start big because it was easier, because that must be tweezers and tiny.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I think we did that for like maybe 3 hours, 3.5 hours of taxidermy for a mouse.
Oh, but it is beautiful and exquisite.
Anyway, so that's that. Brilliant.
You
I love
the prize
that.
The weirdest thing I've ever seen in anyone's house. Self-stuffed mouse. Brilliant.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's libsynads.com.
Okay, now this might get a bit more like woolly in terms of how tidy it is. Okay. So that's our tiny little laundry room, which I spend, you know, more time than I... Yeah, it's actually been a lifesaver.
Is this your safe space?
Well, during lockdown especially, Richard was more front of house, i.e. creating big meals where everybody goes, wow, amazing. And I was doing all the laundry. But actually, I really like being in this little laundry room. So this used to be the ensuite bathroom. And then actually Richard had the bright idea to knock this all through and get rid of the shower and put the tumble dryer in the washing machine. And I actually really like it.
Yeah, it's super.
And it's really
made
it so much easier.
I love the fact you've wallpapered your laundry room as well.
Well, I see this wall all the time. And yeah. The door's often open. So I just think, why not?
Yeah.
It was white before.
So the wallpaper, it's a Natasha Coverdale print. And it's peach and pink and blue and ferny and blousy.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. Called Electric Poppies or something like that. And it goes with this like Liberty shade of purple that I put in here.
Oh, fun. And you're probably the only person who's got gold ankle boots on your on your bookshelves in your laundry room.
I've got to find somewhere to put stuff. This is my dressing room and also Mickey's room. Poor kids.
Oh my so gosh, I've just completely overcome and overwhelmed in sequins.
Yeah, this is what my poor youngest child sleeps surrounded by all this
your
stuff.
Clothes on top of here, like exactly. Stage and album outfits.
Oh, well, yeah.
I want a box that says stage and album outfits.
Look at this one.
In my
it's really made
room.
Richard laugh. This one says ice skating. These are all vintage ice skating outfits I've bought. I don't ice skate, by the way. I just like the idea of having loads of old, like, ice skating costumes.
Oh, so,
amazing.
Fun, aren't they?
Brilliant.
But whenever I've got this stuff, I feel like you know, when I die, my kids are going to be like, why did our mum have all this
stuff? Who even was she? Yeah. What did she do when we went to school? I used to tell mine that I was a spy when they were at school, not just sitting at home writing. Yours are going to think, maybe, really, she was a secret ice skating champion.
I think there's so much stuff that's terrifying my kids, I just know. Yeah. And this is our bedroom.
This is our room.
Oh, and
this pink is in the laundry room, isn't it?
Yes. It's similar. Yeah, actually, it probably is quite similar, yeah. This actually was the colour we had our old bedroom as well in our old house, but I just always really liked it.
Yeah, it's a very purpley pink, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's Rizzo. It's intense. It's a great bedroom colour.
Yeah, so the bedroom, I mean, you know, we probably don't spend that much time in here, really, but I love it at night when we're all, you know, cosy and comforting, and then that's a massive stencil that I did on that wall there. There's a company, I can't remember their name now, but I think it's called the Stencil Library.
Yes, that's right.
And so that actual size that they sell it is probably about this big, about sort of 8 inches. And I just contacted them and said, I'd like it if it was actually more like 8 foot across.
Yeah.
And they can do that. They can make it massive for you. So it came in 3 big sheets and then I just, put it up there.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you know, what's the worst that can happen if you do something like that? You don't like it and you change it.
I feel like every room just feels like you're having the best fun and it's really playful and, playful but creative.
Yeah, but I think that's what Hackney should
be like. Let's try that and see what that looks like.
This is our bathroom.
Oh, this is the Black House of Hackney.
I know.
This is lovely.
Oh, yeah, this is your colour palette.
And then this is the other Coverdale wallpaper.
Oh, yes.
Which I just put in like 2 weeks ago.
I haven't seen... I've got the swatch of that on my notice board, but it's literally like postcard size.
Yeah, it's really
nice. So that's amazing to see that.
I love all the purples and the pinks.
Yeah, and that sort of pulls in the purples and the pinks from your bedroom into the ensuite as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But this is like... Was this like a Hague blue? This is like a really dark...
Yeah, I think this is Hague blue, actually.
Yes!
Well done, you got one. And these note pink Lucy as well. Like I think like pink and coloured Lucy covers is just like an underrated aspect.
Yes.
So go for it.
I have a pink toilet seat, but I actually have a pink toilet to match my pink.
I would love
seat.
That.
No, it's super lovely. So we've got pattern on the floor, we've got pattern wallpaper, and this really dark blacky navy.
Yeah.
All on the walls and over the ceiling. That's what I'm particularly impressed with. I love the wraparound colour.
Chandelier.
Of course one should have a flock chandelier in one's bathroom.
Obviously.
Trepidation. So this is a secret life beyond here. So up here, this room is shared by 3 of my kids. So I attempt to make it nice, but they just keep insisting on like they've got.
It's very tidy,
isn't it?
This is it, and it's like one of its nice. I mean, it's all right. I feel like this room is always in a tight state of flux. But it's probably looking better recently than ever because I got some new little shelves. And so I've got the 12-year-old, the 9-year-old and the 5-year-old all share this room.
And they're happy to share, are they still?
Yeah, it's kind of all they've known, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel a bit sorry for him because I think, especially my 12-year-old, he's quite noisy. He's one of those people that doesn't really have any respect for sleeping people. So the little one underneath him and then the one next door, they just have to get on with it. But actually, I think they're quite into it. Yeah, and when we go away, if we've ever stayed somewhere where they might have a chance to have their own rooms, they actually all want to sleep together.
Mine shared for ages, and then one of them started snoring and the other one went stropping off into his own room and never went back. And that was the end of it. But they've shared beds and rooms on holiday until fairly recently.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's more that because the eldest one, he comes to bed the latest, and then when he comes in, he'll be like, Alexa, what time is it? And then he makes this. Is she going to answer me?
The time is 12:07.
Yeah. So he'll do that, and then he'll be like, volume up, volume down, put my Audible books on, and I just feel a bit sorry for them, really.
And the younger ones are already asleep.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing as well is like, this is really well organized. Like, I'm loving the storage, the systems are in place, you know, bookcases.
Lego and shell. That's Lego.
Is that what
there.
All this is? Yeah. This is all Lego storage.
I don't know why I took it upon myself to
really
colour coordinate it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You colour coordinated the Lego.
I started to.
It was mine did that, but then they started using it and you're sort of hysterical at the fact that they're gonna muck up all the colour coordination, so I had to let that go.
Yeah, no, it was I don't know why I started it. One of them obviously wanted me to, and I kept going long after there was any momentum from anyone else. And now I look back on that time with a sort of sadness, really. The hours I lost to organising Lego. But yeah, I mean, that room is fun and it is playful and they've got all their stuff in here. And billions of books because Ray is obsessive about new books all the time. And yeah, and they're allowed to, I don't mind about them drawing on the walls, which is maybe not a great idea, but I just feel like...
But it's their space up here, isn't it? It's their right space. At the top of the house, yeah. And they can, you know, be on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they've got their posters and their stickers and their own drawings on the wall. So it is their space.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And you think that's important, yeah.
I think it's really important. And when I was a kid, we had spaces where we were allowed to, put our... There's a whole wall at actually the top of the front stairs in my mum's house where we've all drawn on the walls, and she's kept it since we were little.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I think that kind of thing is quite healthy. So, you know, if you can learn about where it's okay and not okay, and they're all... old enough to understand right from wrong in that way, but it's okay. I mean, my first rule was only have it on the wall if it looks nice, but I think you can probably tell from some of the doodles that went on. I mean, what the hell's that on there? And some of them are really silly, like they'll put graffiti and they'll put their bloody names on it. I'm like, don't be daft. So obvious.
When we first moved into our house, we painted the downstairs loo in blackboard paint. And for about 6 months, every time you went in there, there was a new picture of a poo or a steaming turd with actually steam coming out of it. It was about 6 months before they got over that, and then they left it.
Wow.
But they enjoyed it
for
a while.
The whole thing of blackboard paint is really fun.
Yeah.
And then that's our top bathroom, which I want to wallpaper, actually. Got some samples coming.
Well, what's coming in there then?
Well, so this room, I've loved the shape of it since we moved in, but it gets neglected. It's really only where the kids brush their teeth in the nighttime because the baths, we do all baths in my room and showers and all that. So I thought there's a really nice, I'll see if it's, it might have even arrived while we've been talking because I saw like a black envelope downstairs, but I think something quite mild, and there's actually a poodle and blonde wallpaper that I like that's got shells with flowers coming out.
Oh, yes, I've got a swatch of that.
Have
it's
you?
Exquisite.
Well, I thought that in here might be really
100%.
Nice.
100%.
Yeah. But I thought, because at first I was only going to do the back wall, I thought, well, I'll only see it when I'm leaving. So now
thing.
I think the whole thing.
Yeah. So it's like an attic bathroom with a pitch ceiling that forms a sort of triangle. So the idea.
It's a lovely space, this. I've always loved the way that it's
the
got that sort of church shape.
Clever,
and this. But I thought that wallpaper might make this feel a bit special. 100%. This room gets neglected. It's where things hang out before they go in the attic, and it's just not exciting, but I think it with a bit of love.
I love that you've got a place where things hang out before they go in the attic. Don't we all have a place where things hang out?
You have to. This is constant, like they've grown out of that, right, put it on there, off it goes in a minute.
What I love about what you've done with this house as well is I just imagine maybe what the house opposite or next door looks like, because it guarantee you won't look like this.
I know.
It's
well,
so
actually,
great, isn't it?
When we moved in, a guy from down the road went, I've seen your colours, because all our paint pots were outside, and he obviously was a bit like, oh, what's she doing? Oh, that's sodded. It's quite a
subtle way to rebel, really, isn't it?
Yes.
100%. Oh, yeah, look, I think that is them.
Let's have a look.
Yeah, that is them. Yeah, let's have a look.
Is that the coral one?
I got two colourways to have a look at. Yeah.
Look, wrapped in a bow.
Oh, that's sweet. The one I was thinking is that one.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
Oh, that'll look nice, won't it?
Yeah, it'll look really super.
I think that's too cold.
Yeah.
I think that.
I'll go with them.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here.
It's exciting.
Reinforce me.
My desires. Yeah. And then after that, we're going to try and sort out the den a little bit. I didn't show you the den, did I? That's the other, any other space we didn't look at, really. Do you like what I did with Richard's pull-up bar with the floral?
Oh, is that what it is?
You put that pull-up bar there. So as a sort of joke, I put wrapped around those, like they're like Indian plastic flowers. In a kind of, it's so ugly, now I've made a thing of it.
Yeah,
and then he was like,
black,
I really like what
bar.
You've done with the pull-up bar. I was like, oh, that's staying then, is it? I haven't seen anyone use it. Right. So this is our den room. We spend lots of time in here watching movies. So that's a huge projector screen, basically.
Cool.
So at the night time, we can all squidge on there and watch a movie. But I want to get a new desk that goes the whole length here, like a vintage one. And then get all that crap sort of given it a space.
So do you use that? Is this your desk mainly?
No, I don't work. I work wherever I can. I've been writing a book over the last few months and I just sit down somewhere and then get interrupted a lot. That's kind of it. But it's all right, actually.
Hot desk around your own house.
Yeah, hot desk, yeah.
So the new book, that's coming out in
October.
Autumn. Is that
Spinning Plates?
It's an autobiography, actually. Initially, I was approached about doing a book that would be a series of essays about whatever I fancied, and I thought, I kind of feel like that's not quite... I want to actually just write about everything. So I did. It's really fun. I mean,
Sophie hates writing.
I've literally read none of it back. Yeah. I'm just writing it down. And then I don't really want to reread anything. So it's more like a stream of consciousness, really. It's exciting.
It's interesting the exposure and the feeling of being exposed because, you know, another thing like being in your home or showing people your house, that can be really exposing for people, can't it? And I'm always feeling, I always feel so privileged when we do this podcast and people invite us into our home and show us their kids' rooms, their ensuite, you know, all these really, you know, these spaces that you don't open up to the public. But it's a lovely thing to also to be able to share, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think because we haven't got a busy house here, I probably don't feel quite as concerned about that really, because just I actually this house is really, when we first moved, this is the biggest house I've ever lived in. And I thought, I want every corner of it to have life in it. I don't want any room where it's like, oh, I never really go in there, or I don't really sit there. It was really important to me that every part of the house was alive. And it's always like that. There's always people around, every door being open, shut, window, you know, and so I don't really feel quite as private about it like that, because the house has got a life of its own outside of even my experience of it. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, Sophie, you know, on that note, thank you so much for inviting us into your glorious, glorious home. Before you kick us out or we leave, there's one last thing we always like to ask all our guests.
Yep.
And that is, what would you consider your design superpower?
I think, yeah, my design superpower is possibly being able to visualise what might work in a space before I've actually committed paints to wall. I'm quite good at that. I was joking to Richard yesterday that my brain's a bit like a computer where I sort of like click the mouse. Like, what would it look like if the ceiling was like this? But the trouble is, it means you do it all the time. Every day, in every room, all the time.
That is an amazing superpower to have.
So, of course, you've all seen Sophie's kitchen, but for pictures of the rest of this gorgeous home, do check out our blogs. Mine is madaboutthehouse.com and hers is sophierobinson.co.uk.
There will also be pics on Instagram where I'm Sophie Robinson Interiors and she's Mad About the House. And you should certainly be following Sophie herself, who is at Sophie Ellis Baxter. And of course, I want to mention Sophie's awesome podcast, Spinning Plates, of which I have been a guest.
You have.
Sophie, thank you so much for having us. It's been wonderful to see you all around your home.
Thank you for coming. Not being too scared of the clutter.
And thanks also to our brilliant sponsors, Harlequin, and to our producer, Kate Taylor of Feast Collective. And of course, a huge thanks to you for listening.
And we'll see you in the great indoors.